Hallelujah. We had a good time this morning. The Holy Spirit showed up, showed out, healed people, blessed people. And before I go into prayer, you know, and I appreciate Pastor Sharon, you know, when she called me out in particular, along with Miss Helen, about praying over me and the enemy attacking my body. And what it is migraines. And Natasha brought it to me yesterday when we were walking. Her and I and Carla was walking, and she said, you know, this seems to happen every time you have to teach. And it started last Sunday when Pastor actually said that I was teaching, and I felt it coming on right then and there. And it was to the point where I went to work Monday, I went Tuesday, I left early, I went Wednesday, I left early. I couldn't even try to leave home Thursday, and I couldn't. Just sunlight itself was just hurting me, and started feeling a bit better. And then this morning when she said that, and then when my husband, my covering, hallelujah, when he laid hands on me and he said something, he said that it was going to hit me like a taser going through my body. Now, if y'all know Jesse, he always teasing about tasers. But when he said that, something went through me, and then someone, I know now who it was, came up and they laid their hands on my stomach, and I felt something. And between Jesse saying that, Miss Pauline's hands being laid on me, when I opened my eyes, I knew it was her. But initially, I just knew it was something like when you said, Pastor, touch the hem of his garment, I shall be made whole. And it was that. It was it. And it's gone. I have no side effects. I mean, I was still nauseous. My kidneys was hurting because of all the medications I was taking. Glory be to God. So thank you both for being obedient this morning, being led by the Spirit this morning, so we can step into that arena that God made just for us, just for Oasis this morning. He was here. He stayed. He dwelled. And he still is here. And some things happened. I mean, I got it this morning. I got it. Glory to God. Well, let's go to God in prayer. Father God, we just thank you. We thank you for today. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your favor. We thank you for the blood. All of you this evening, Father, all of you and none of me, have your way. Have your way, and let your word fall upon good ground, listening ears, Father God. And I just thank you, Father God. You ordered my words, Father God. And I thank you, Lord. I give you all the praise, and I give you all the glory. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen. It seems as though God is kind of straying me away from music. I guess that was could have been my security blanket. You know, and when pastors was first asking me to teach, you know, that could have been my security blanket. And now he said, okay, you got to come off the Similac. So that's how I feel, because I'm like, okay, he got a song for me today. but he doesn't. So, but praise be to God. And I thank him that he's blessing me to bring his word to his people, that he's trusting me to bring his word, that he laid it on pastor's heart to trust me to speak over their flock. Because that's, I don't take it lightly. Amen. I'm so nervous, but I don't take it lightly, because this is the word of God, and I am not going to have God chastising me for telling y'all something wrong, okay? Glory to God. Well, the message today, and we're still dealing with the blood of Jesus, but today it's the blood of Jesus, our saving grace. We've talked about different aspects of the blood of Jesus. You know, The blood of Jesus, his death, his pain. He went through all those beatings. The crown of thorns that was just thrust upon his head and pressed down, that was for us. That was our saving grace. When those thorns, was that crown was on his head, it was mocking him. Blood was running down. That was for us. Our lifeline, our salvation, our redemption, our reconciliation with God, our freedom from sin, our peace, our saving grace. That's the blood of Jesus. That's what it represents. And that's only a few things what it represents. That's the blood of Jesus, our saving grace. What has the blood saved you from? What about all the things you have no idea of? You woke up late to go to work. You forgot something. You had to turn around and go back. You took the wrong exit, the wrong turn. Why did I turn left? I always turn right. Huh. God may be trying to keep you from something. But we don't know. We don't know. And who knows, even with those migraines this week, what was on the highways and me headed to work Thursday morning? Who knows? Who knows? You know, this killing, what it was in Columbus last night, my sister had left my house right before that shooting took place, and that's the way she goes home. But we got held up talking. Who's to say? We don't know. We don't know. We don't know. Good friend of mine's, her son-in-law was involved in a real bad motorcycle accident last night. Someone hit him on a motorcycle, and he's actually having surgery, I think right now, on his leg. His pelvis was twisted, femur broken, and something wrong with his bladder and his arm. But he lived. Number one, my friend, his mother-in-law, she's a praying woman. And she's always covering her children, and she covers them with the blood. You don't know what God may be keeping you from. And his stepdaughter was going to be on the motorcycle with him, but something happened. I don't know what. That was God. That little girl could have lost her life in all of this because the motorcycle was total. We don't know. What is the blood saving you from? What has the blood saved you from? We can't take the blood of Jesus lightly. The blood of Jesus works for us in so many ways, but we must employ it. We could talk about the blood of Jesus all day long, but if you're not actively working the blood of Jesus in your life, employing it, calling on it, blood of Jesus, I need you to work in this area, in that area, it's not going to work for you. Let's go to 1 John 1, verse 5 through 10. Not a lot of scriptures tonight, but some meaningful scriptures tonight, what God has led me. And I was only going to do like one verse in first John, the first chapter, but then I got to read. I'm like, I need to say all of this. I felt led to read all of this. So we're going to read 1 John chapter 1, verse 5 through 10. And then chapter 2, we're going to read verse 1 and 2. Okay, I think I wrote that down right. This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you. God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him, yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live by the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us of our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make him out of a liar, and his word has no place in our lives. My dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. But if anybody does sin, we have one who speaks to the Father in our defense, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. That's what his blood did. Amen. That's what his blood did. Because God knew we were going to mess up. before we were even created, before we were even born. Now, I can say created because we were created way back. But before we were born, before we gave life and brought into this world, God knew we were going to sin. Jesus was that sacrifice. Before they had the animals, they had to take in once a year all these animals and what have you. But then the ultimate lamb laid down his life. Yeah. Willingly. Uh-huh. Willingly. He could have asked 1,000 angels to come right then and there and wipe out everybody. But he did, because of us, because of me, because of y'all. He laid down his life willingly for our sins, for our sins, because he was sinless for our sins. Glory to God. So through the blood of Jesus, I am cleansed from all sins. And that's according to 1 John. Through the blood of Jesus, I am cleansed from all sin. But we got to confess them. We have to confess it. We have to confess that none of us are that good. Amen. We have to confess those sins. No matter how, ain't no small sin. Ain't no one sin greater than the other. Different sins have different consequences. But one sin ain't greater than the other. Just because somebody else's may be in the light and yours in the dark, you're both wrong. Amen. We all wrong. Amen. Some people you can see their sins. Some other sins you can't see. You got to confess them in order to be forgiven for them, for that blood to cover it. Let's go over to Romans 5. Verse 6 through 11. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely would anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good man someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? For if, when we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? Not only is this so, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Savior, Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. Through the blood of Jesus, I am justified, declared righteous, as if I've never sinned, according to Romans 5, 6 through 11. That's what the blood does. That's what the blood does. Let's go over to Hebrews chapter 13. Verse 11 through 16. The high priest, I had to read this a little bit before I got an understanding. I mean, like several times, like over a couple of weeks before I truly got some revelation on this, because I was like, I don't get it. I don't get it. Okay, let's do this. All right. Hebrews 13, 11 through 16. All right. The high priest carries the blood of animals into the most holy place as a sin offering, but the bodies are burned outside the camp. Verse 12. And so Jesus also suffered outside the city gate to make the people holy through his own blood. Let us then go to him outside the camp, bearing the disgrace he bore. For here we do not have an enduring city, but we are looking for the city that is to come. Through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that confess his name, and do not forget to do good and to share with others, for with such sacrifices God is pleased. Through the blood of Jesus, I am sanctified and set apart. What I got out of this, when they had to kill the animals, they didn't take the carcass of the animal into the holy place. Only the blood went there. They burned the animal outside the city, outside the gate. Okay, so we got to burn our flesh outside the gate. That's what I got out of this. My flesh got to die and got to burn outside the gate. But when I go into the holy of holy places, it's because of the blood of Jesus, through the blood of Jesus, because God can't look at us. He looks at us through the blood of Jesus, because we just ugly, because we're sinful. Just being real. He can't look at us like that. When he sees Wanda Ann Brown Phillips, he sees the blood of Jesus, because that's what allows me to go boldly and to go into that holy of holy places is the blood of Jesus. So what I got out of that is that I got to die to this flesh. I got to leave all of that when I go into the holies of holies because of the blood of Jesus. And like I said, it's because I didn't get it. I really didn't. So when we have to disgrace ourselves, that's not a bad thing, because we're taking off the worldly stuff, what the world may think is disgraceful or what have you. Why is she going back to church on a Sunday night? Why is she going to church on a Wednesday? Why she gives her tithes and her offerings? Don't she know she got bills due? Don't she know she got a child in college? Why she's doing this? Why she giving tithes and offerings? Don't she know she's a stay-at-home mom and wife? Why she's giving up all this money? That's disgraceful to the world, but not to God. It honors him. That's praise to him when we make those sacrifices. Glory to God. But that's what I got out of that. That's what I got out of that. And through the blood of Jesus, I am sanctified. I am set apart. I am a peculiar people. I am a peculiar people. My aunt and I was having a conversation today about being different. Hey, being different is fine. Being different is fine. For instance, like I told her, because even though she said that she was, I know she's probably looking at me a little strange, but with my ripped jeans, I'm going to wear my ripped jeans. I'm not going to be disgraceful, don't get me wrong, but I do this for young folks. I wear my t-shirt, and I'm going to wear my heels now. But for the young folks that may watch this, that may come here, so if they may only have a pair of ripped jeans, put your ripped jeans on, put your t-shirt on, let's go to the house of the Lord. But see, but that's what God has called me. Now, if I see Pastor Sharon with some ripped jeans on, I may have to hit the ground and y'all pick me back up. But I'm just saying, but that's why I do it, to help young folks. To help the young folks. I'm set apart. Yeah. I'm sanctified. Yeah. I'm a peculiar people, and so are you. So are you. Glory to God. Amen. Pleading the blood of Jesus and imploring the blood of Jesus is a petition. It's a war cry. It's a line the enemy and his little demons cannot cross. It's a wall he cannot scale. I love that song, Patty. When you plead the blood of Jesus, you are calling on the power that's in the blood of Jesus. Because there's power in the blood. There's power in the blood. It speaks to our Father. The blood of Jesus speaks to our Father. So when we, thank you, Holy Spirit. So when we plead the blood of Jesus over a situation, I plead the blood of Jesus over this, Father God. I plead the blood over my children, that no weapon formed against them shall prosper. When I say I plead the blood of Jesus, that is speaking to our Father in heaven. Because the blood talks. So when you plead the blood of Jesus, it's talking to your daddy. The blood is talking. He hears the blood. He don't hear you per se. He hears the blood because you got his attention when you said, I plead the blood of Jesus. And he remembers when his son shed some blood up there on Calvary on that day for us crazy folks that was going to sin. Glory to God. The blood speaks. Thank you, God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. So through the blood of Jesus, your family is covered. Your finances are covered. Your home is covered. Your city is covered. Your decisions are covered. No matter how small you may think that decision is, even with me, what I'm going to wear, I used to be so sure. So what am I going to wear to work today? I don't think about it. I say, okay, Lord, just show me what I need to wear to work in the morning. Thank you. Uh-huh. Something just that simple, but it can get you all stressed out. And plus, that's a decision. You know, as much as all the decisions our brains have to make in a day, why waste it on something so simple? But I'm just saying, because you're gonna get burned out. But you gotta ask God for just something so simple. Something so simple. What am I gonna wear today? Something so simple. Hallelujah. Our decisions, plead the blood, whatever. Call, plead, employ the blood of Jesus. Let's go to Revelations 12, verses 10 through 12. I think I read this one last week as well, and got a little bit more in depth with this one. Revelations 12, verses 10 to 12. You know, last week, before I read the scripture, I talked about the basin. Back in the past, the Passover, when they killed the animal, the blood was put in a basin, on a bowl, and they used the hyssop to put it on the doorpost. Okay? So want to say that, just talk about that real quick. Let's read this. Revelations 12, 10 through 12. Then I heard a loud voice in heaven say, now have come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of our Christ, of his Christ. For the accuser of our brothers who accuses him before our God day and night has been hurled down. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. They do not love their lives so much as to shrink from death. Therefore, rejoice, you heavens, and you will dwell in them. But woe to the earth and the sea, because the devil has gone down to you. He is filled with fury because he knows that his time is short. Okay, again, the blood of the lamb, of the animals, was put in a basin. They used hyssop to put it on the doorpost. Is the blood of Jesus in the basin, or is it on the doorpost for you? Are you leaving the blood of Jesus in the basin? That's good. The word says they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. Are you using the hyssop, which is your mouth? What is your testimony? What are you testifying? Proverbs 8:21 talks about life and death is in the power of the tongue. What are you saying? Or are you not saying nothing, which is still just the same, because you're leaving the blood in the basin? It does no good. There is just blood in a basin. But you've got to start pleading the blood, employing the blood, calling on the blood of Jesus in your life in order for it to work. We've got to do better. Yeah. We've got to do better. God gave us that powerful weapon, which is the blood of Jesus, and we're not using it like we should. Death and life flowed out of Jesus on that day. It was twofold. It was two for one for us. Our saving grace, when the water and the blood came out. And that's just so significant to me, y'all. It truly is. It truly is. The blood and the water coming out of Jesus' pure side gives us a new life and freedom from sin. The blood represents the freedom from the sin. The water represents new life. And here's another take on this. And Jesse probably heard me say, oh my goodness, or something I said when I was in the dining room studying before we came here, going over this. Adam's side was cut open. Adam's side was cut open, and Eve was produced. She was taken out of Adam, a new life. When Jesus' side was pierced, blood and water began to flow out of his side, a new life. A new life for us. A new life was produced. The church was produced from his side when the blood and the water flowed out. the church, which is us, believers, was produced from the blood and the water flowing out of our Lord and our Savior. The blood is the fountain to wash our sins, and the water is there to give us a new life. Glory to God. Are you going to walk in your new life? Are you just going to accept the status quo? I'm not a status quo type of girl. God didn't make me like that. And I'm so glad he didn't. He didn't make any of us like that to accept the status quo. We are set apart. We are peculiar people. We've been sanctified. So why are we going to accept the status quo that the world has said? No, I don't roll like that. I don't do that. Because of this, we are one with Jesus through his blood. Praise him, glory. We are one with him through his blood because of the blood that he shed that day on Calvary. The blood is powerful, and it is a weapon, like I said earlier, it's a weapon that we don't use. The enemy doesn't play fair. But the blood of Jesus, it doesn't matter how he play. What games he throw, what weapons he may use, we have the weapon of mass destruction. The blood of Jesus. You know, and I heard Jensen Franklin say once, I think it was him, that we are HVTs. It's a military term for high value targets. We are Christians, are high value targets of the enemy. So when something is a high value target, you use your best weapons to come at it, right? So why aren't we using our weapons to go after him? Our best weapon, which is the blood of Jesus. He uses his best, which is still not the best. So why we can't use ours? Stop playing with the devil and his demons. Stop entertaining him. Recognize his tactics. Always be on ready. The devil is not like the devil we see in these movies with the horns, the pitchfork. Mm-mm. He comes in so many forms and fashions. People have these spirits all up on them. Stop entertaining foolishness. If something don't sit right with you, you better walk away. Get caught up, like Juan was talking about this morning during the tithes and offerings. Watch your company. Yeah. Watch your people. They'll pull you in. Yeah. It's just Wednesday night, girl. You ain't got to go out on Wednesday night. You single. Let's go on out here downtown. Let's do a little something downtown. You may be innocent the first time, a little innocent. You skip one Wednesday. Then become two Wednesdays. Then it becomes a Sunday here or there. And before you know it, you somewhere that you don't supposed to be, getting caught up in something you don't need to be doing. The blood of Jesus. And you have to say, what does the blood of Jesus have to do with that? Everything. Decisions. Know who you are. Know your worth. Plead the blood. Like I said, always be on ready. Plead the blood through the blood of Jesus, because of the blood of Jesus. Because of the blood of Jesus, my children are saved. Because of the blood of Jesus, my children are living for the Lord. Through the blood of Jesus, hallelujah, I am saved. Through the blood of Jesus, I am set apart. Through the blood of Jesus, I have been redeemed. I plead the blood of Jesus over my city. I plead the blood of Jesus over my home. I plead the blood of Jesus over my government. Plead the blood through the blood because of the blood, okay? And I'm wrapping up. We have, and I talked about this in the first teaching of the blood of Jesus. We have the right hand blessing, the double portion blessing. Noah and Jacob, they switched hands with the children, grandchildren. Jacob's was his grandkids. Noah's was his, children. They switched hands. Because, you know, the oldest is supposed to receive the blessing. The firstborn supposed to receive the blessing. But they both switched. And the blessing was transferred to the next one. God is not going to let somebody else do something that he's not going to do. So he could, just like he couldn't let Abraham kill his son, he couldn't do that. So when Jesus was on that cross, that's why Jesus said, Father, why have you forsaken me? Because God turned his back on him. He switched hands. The blessing came upon us. So because of that blood, because of the blood of Jesus, that's why we can go boldly to that throne of grace. Because we have that right hand blessing. He switched hands. He switched hands. He switched hands on that day. Our father, our daddy, switched hands on that day with Jesus for us, for you, and for me. And Jesus shed his blood for us willingly. The right hand blessing, it gives us that right to plead the blood boldly, to plead it boldly and go boldly to that throne of grace. The blood of Jesus, that's our saving grace. Yeah, hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God.